Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly. This is Alan Bishop, head alchemist at Spirits of French Lick. Be on the lookout for our brand new bottled and bond Solomon Scott rye whiskey. Made from a mash composed of 65% rye, 35% corn, and 5% victory malt. This 5-year-old 100-proof rye whiskey is a throwback to early 1800s style rye whiskeys of the Ohio Valley. Named after the legendary Daisy Spring Mill distillery owner turned moonshiner Solomon Scott of Paoli, Indiana. Remember, drink responsibly and never drink and drive.
Exciting podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Tonight we've got a large group here tonight. A full house, what would you say? We've got CT, we've got Super Nash, myself Tiny, and we have Aaron Harris, master distiller of the Green River Distillery. Welcome, Aaron.
Grabbing.
Yeah, right. Welcome.
We are
coming on, giving us your time.
Yeah, we are psyched. Definitely, we're Facebook Live. We're recording. We're recording for the podcast. Just remember www.scotchybourbonboys.com for everything Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And make sure when you're listening on any major podcast format that you like, listen, subscribe, leave feedback, and let's just get right into this. We've been talking a little bit, but Green River, one of the reasons why we're having Green River on, why we're having Aaron on tonight, is Green River is launching in Ohio. Actually, I believe this week. I think there was a little bit last week, but this week is the main launch, and you're launching your new product. You want to talk about that, Aaron?
Yeah, so the Green River brand came out, I think, just a year ago today, or not today, but a year ago, and it launched in approximately 4 states to, you know, uproarious applause. Loved it. Everybody's in love with the brand. Now here we are a year later, and we're releasing a weeded offering as well, the weeded bourbon, 90 proof. Right now, this year, we will be releasing to 21 additional markets, I do believe. So we should be in 25 states before the end of the year. That's not all at once, as Nash and I were just talking about. That will be staged out over the year. They're both coming in at 90 proof. And in my humble opinion, I believe they pack a bigger punch.
And at what price point?
$34.99.
That is amazing.
Just a great deal. So the first offering was a 5-year. This latest bottling were 4, 5, and 6-year bourbons that went into that. And obviously we do that just from demand perspective. We've got to put more in it, different lot IDs. So, yeah, they're amazing. They both offer, wonderful notes, that they all want to see, especially solid bourbon drinkers. I think there's something for everyday sippers, and everyday drinkers that are putting it away.
Well, I've been hearing really good reviews. I never hear a bad review on this. And that's one of the cool things. Sometimes, hearing bad reviews isn't always the worst thing, because you can't make every single bourbon drinker on the planet happy with the bourbon. I've still haven't come across, but when it comes to you usually will see something, and I've seen nothing but good reviews for it. And then when, just like putting this out, letting people know that we were going to be on 8:30 tonight and everything, going Facebook Live, all of the comments were, they liked it. And it's good stuff, and it's great to see what's happening there. And either and then also there was a lot of comments on how great you are, Aaron. But that said, I mean, you don't give anybody any reason not to like you when it comes to the bourbon people. That, as far as I can tell. But one of the reasons why we did this is because the name's slipping my mind. I had it before, but I'm not gonna. But the Ohio rep, a guy that I've been talking to who's going to be opening a bar up in the Ashland area, he's been trying to do this, a bourbon bar, for a while. He's was the Ohio rep, and he's like, I've got the media kits. Would you want one? And I'm like, sure. And this was about a month and a half ago. And then after about 2 weeks, I was like, did you send those out? He goes, what happened is they all broke. They were sent to me and they were broke, so I'm getting more. Then he sent it out to me, and for some reason, when he sent it out to me, they sent it back to him. I was like, I didn't get it. So finally, I was able to get it, and as soon as I got it, Aaron, you know I called you. I'm like, you know, if you're going to be talking about Green River on a podcast, you might as well have the guy making the Green River at this point.
Absolutely.
So what was it like as far as, you being from us coming this, I know that you were at larger distilleries before, but you were coming from a craft distillery and now you're at Green River. What was it like putting this batch together, you know, and doing the master distiller thing as far as getting it and everybody, you know, getting the right taste, and opposed to doing it at a smaller run kind of place like what you did with their Bottled and Bond, you know, initially? What was the difference?
I definitely had more barrels to play with.
Yeah.
I definitely had more warehouses to play with. So I think we're somewhere around 26 or 27 warehouses we can play with. So that's a little bit of bourbon. You know, fortunately, when I came in, we've got great palettes that are already on staff. We have, you know, the infamous Steve Nally. We have Nick Smith, our director of distillation at Barstown Bourbon Company and head distiller. We also have, quite frankly, is our master blender in Dan Calloway. So for the most part, the weeded version had already been built out several months back when they actually, oh, crap, we've got weeded barrels. Let's see what we can do with those. So the best part for me was to be here as they were harvested, as they were dumped, to see the on-hand pulls. As far as tweaking, we didn't have to do a whole lot for the weeded, more or less just making sure that we were consistent with what we wanted to put out there. Fortunate for me, the role has increased. Today, myself and Dan Calloway and our warehouse manager / processing manager were able to sit down and go through the next Green River blend for production. So very, very happy and very pleased that I've been brought in and trusted enough to get not only making the whiskey, but to get my hand into actually crafting the final product. So it's not something that every distiller gets to do, as many might think.
So, and then also, I mean, being so new there, it's almost like it being so big, it's kind of like you got to get your feet on the ground, you know, especially you said that people who had already been there and know where the barrels can come from in the rick houses and everything. And then you get to do that with them and share that and then start to develop the knowledge. That's key. And also this, now that you're here, the goal will be to stay here a little bit because, you know, landing on your feet and starting anew isn't the greatest thing to do consistently. It's okay to, you know, get to where you're going. But at the same time, I mean, you know, that's the getting to know your equipment and getting to know your rick houses and getting to know everything really will make it a little bit easier as you go, right?
Yeah, it feels very much as though my experience thus far has culminated to be being a caretaker for not only this distillery, but the people we have running. And that's a pretty cool honor for me, honestly.
How many people are at the distillery?
I believe we're right at around 107 right now. Okay. Our biggest departments being warehouse and distillery. We're about 20, 25 each there. And then we have a lot of support functions here.
And how many barrels a day coming out of Green River? How many are you doing?
Over 300 when we're in production.
So that's 300. And then Bardstown's doing over 300. So together, almost 600, over 600 barrels a day. Wow.
Now, you said when you're in production, so you're not in production 7 days a week.
So, well, like, for instance, just now we went down for roughly 15 days to do some major infrastructure. The typical, we shut down every 2 weeks to do a caustic and cleaning. So, you know, when those little resets happen, you're not doing the full 300. But, you know, over a seven day average, we're well over 300 barrels.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's So are you guys building rick houses at the rate Bardstown Bourbon Company's building rick houses now?
No, I don't have multiple constructions going on. We have, now fortunately we were able to pick up a roughly 80 acre site in Hancock County, which is just upriver from us now in Lewisport, Kentucky. There is a site which we will, there's potential for six 58 eights. Right now, the first one is on the fifth floor being constructed. I believe we have approval to start on the second. The local community has been welcoming with open arms. You know, we have a lot of growth opportunities in that facility. It also comes with, I believe it's a 70,000 square foot facility under roof. So with a rail spur. So there's a lot of different options we can play with that facility, most likely being palletized warehousing.
Okay.
Cool. Is all, what are the rick houses right now palletized, all of them, or are they standard rick houses?
So when they started building this facility up, they immediately started putting in, started building palletized warehouses, basically concrete pads, steel structures. Those are built, those are actually in Ohio County, which is Beaver Dam, Kentucky, Hartford, Kentucky. So there are, I do believe there are 19 out there. So there's roughly, and then there are six, tile brick warehouses here. So roughly north of 300,000 barrels a year. Something like that.
Austin asked what, he said you mentioned three mash bills. What was, he knows you got the Weeded and the Green River. What was the third mash bill? He said Kentucky 10.
95.5.
Okay, all right. There you go.
Delicious.
Let me ask you, out of all the warehouse rick houses and the aging, what's the oldest that's aging in the warehouses?
What's the oldest barrel we have?
Yeah.
I want to say there's some 8 year.
8 years.
I haven't personally tasted that yet. Probably won't be allowed to. So we'll wait and see what we do with those. But no, there are, they were, the previous ownership was experimenting with several different options, in their own right, you know, as, as we mentioned before, the Green River Spirits Company and Terra Essentia, Terra Pure, that entire process is no longer on this site. The equipment is not even here. That was sold off to South Carolina.
So that's actually the Terra Pure is someplace else doing some Terra Pure stuff?
Now, I can't say for what they're doing, but then I can tell you that the equipment is not on our site.
They're not making you age your whiskey fast.
No, we are all about the 17, 18 seasons that Kentucky provides us.
Well, I think that at the same time, what they were trying to do, it was a formidable thing. And there's certain gimmicks and everything. But also when it changed from the name to Green River, that was the commitment to Kentucky and the distillery and everything that was going through. But at the same time, everybody knows when you do something in this industry, there's a certain amount of, you have to overcome the hurdle, you know, because there's a lot that even in my brain, it's been overcome. I mean, Steve Coombs helped me overcome it. You going there, talking with you a little bit, and then also tasting the whiskey and what, like you said, the equipment's gone. They're not doing that anymore. But at the same time, there, you know, when you're dealing with the standard person on the shelf, it's good to know, you know, people had a certain, what would you say, thoughts about Ozzie Tyler, and now it's Green River. But the everyday person purchasing off the shelf doesn't even make that connection. They're looking for good bourbon. I mean, the bourbon people that I know, they all know the connection and everything. But when you're talking about that standard drinker, which is 90% of whiskey drinkers, we're in the 10%, but the 90%, they just want it to taste good. And I think you guys have it's well-priced for the market, and it's for its price range. It's a high-end, like you said, it's an everyday drinker, but it's also a sipper at the same time. And I'm really enjoying the Weeded. Talk about, you know, the response to the Weeded and, you know, how you guys have been rolling it out. And, you know, has the response so far been really good?
It's been really good. I think for the most part, you know, it's one of the things where what else did Green River have in the stalls ready to, you know, get out there and hit the market with? And then, you know, holy crap, we release this, you know, Weeded monster that comes out. And for me, it's definitely not an overpowering pour. It's still delicious. I think for me, I was very hesitant to let anyone know my thoughts on the pour. And a lot of times, and you guys have been through enough tastings that you know what, you don't want to show your cards too early because you could sway opinions. You know, that power of persuasion is very strong when you're doing these pours and different tastings of bourbons. So I actually saw a review that came out and the guy actually called out my tasting. So I thought, okay, that validated and helped me out a little bit. So then I was like, okay, it's there. It's just not my crazy palate, but for me, it's citrusy. It's a citrus pour for me. But it's not too overpowering. I think for me, it was a huge, more peach notes, than like an orange, but that, little acidic.
So the one thing I'll have to say about influence on tasting, I really don't think we're influencers as much as we pick out a flavor that's in there that people can taste. And most people, when they're drinking whiskey, have a lot of things going on, and they're not, for one, if you have a peach flavor in a whiskey, or you have a, you know, that's not what most people are looking for, you know, when that haven't, you know, that aren't experienced tasters. And when you tell them what the flavors are, their brain then can say, oh, that does taste like peach or that does taste like pumpkin, you know. And so you're not actually influencing them. You're basically letting them know the flavors that are within. Now, some people taste different things differently. There's no doubt about it. But I always find that, especially now that you start, when you start to train yourself, we do more aroma training, because if you know what something smells like, you know what it tastes like also. So, yeah. And when you're doing those aroma kits and you do the aroma kits, there's a lot of stuff where you go, oh, because I used to think earthy was, I called it root beer. It had a root beer type, then that's an earthy type. So when you start to understand how to tell people what something smells like or tastes like and what you're picking up, I don't think we're actually influencing them. We're just allowing their brain to make the connection to the flavors that are actually there. Then they go, that's what I was tasting. Not like you're saying you're supposed to be tasting this, but they actually recognize it for the taste. They can go, oh, I can taste the peach in there. So that's, I mean,
and a big, yeah, a big part of it is that I like to make perfectly clear. They're my tasting notes,
right?
You know, my tasting notes aren't, it's not biblical record. It's not being written down in stone. My tasting notes, I can tell you are going to be far inferior to Nancy Fraley, you know, for instance. She's got one of the best palates in the game. So she's going to, you know, tear something apart for the good or better.
Well, and remember, the only tasting notes as a master distiller that matter are when you taste shitty tasting notes and then you keep it out of your bourbon. Because,
thank you.
Because honestly, you know, she might have a great palate, but I guarantee you I can get a good percentage of whiskey drinking public that won't like what she likes and they like it to taste this way. I mean, I'm not a fan of huge oak. You know, if it's really oaky and the tannin of those wood tannins are a little bit bitter, you know, those wood sugars, that's not one of my favorite things. But I know three or four people that absolutely think that's the best thing that they can taste in a whiskey. So once again, that's where your perception comes in, right? But your job is to make sure that it just doesn't taste, that it's not going to taste bad.
Yeah, and Aaron, I mean, Aaron, with what you're doing, you obviously are trying to appeal to the masses too with having, you know, two brands right now. So it's got to appeal to everybody as a sipper, a drinker, whatever it is. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And they're both, I believe both expressions are very approachable. And I think they're, you know, and Jeff, you and Nash, you know this. I'm a drink it. You got it, drink it. I don't care if
yes.
I don't care what it is. You know, yep. I can assure you that people like myself didn't make something to sit on a shelf for 100 years.
Absolutely.
So I think they're both just fantastic to share with friends and or just hoard to yourself, honestly.
Yeah, we got to taste the Green River at Bourbon on the Banks. And let me ask you, was that like the batch one of the Green River bourbon?
Would that have been this past or last spring?
Yeah, last summer? Just October.
Yeah.
Yes, that would have been the first run. The first run was last year. The second run was this spring.
How do you know?
It was pretty good. I liked it.
Is there any way to tell, Aaron, which batch it is? Because I have a bottle that was late last. Well, this probably came September, I think, is when I got this one. But this one is one I picked up about 3-4 weeks ago. So,
yeah, I mean, as far as leaving from our facility and getting to the distributor to the shelves, I can't tell you on that because we don't do. There may be a lot ID somewhere we can tell, but for the most part, it's a, you know,
yeah,
no age statements, nothing like that. So it's a, you're getting the whole kit and caboodle there.
Everything coming up to Ohio will be the new batch. So there you go. You'll just have to buy that.
Right. Hey, talk about the one other thing that we haven't even touched on is the DSP number, because I think that's pretty awesome. And obviously Green River puts that pretty large on the building and talks about it a lot.
Yeah. So you know, back in the day, back, you know, even before Prohibition, there were distilling districts, even before that. And then when you had the release of your distilled spirits plant or distilled spirits producer, you've got, you know, Heaven Hill, I think, has three within the top 10 or something. We have 10. And then I believe the closest one, that's the oldest, maybe, I'm probably off, but Barton, I think, might be 12. So, you know, if you've been to Barton 1792 while they were giving tours, this yep. facility is very reminiscent of that building. They were built about the same time, similar flows.
Old.
Very. yeah. But there's a thing there. There's a story here, and there are a lot of stories layered over 100 years that you can't buy that. Yeah. You can't fake it. So it's something here. When you're here, you're like, oh, crap, this is super old. There's a lot of stuff going on. This is a lot of fun.
So and it's cool that you got to keep the DSP number. Sorry, Jeff, because you know, I hear a lot of people talk, you know, at different distilleries about how they're fighting to get their DSP number or whatever because it got, you know, given to somebody else in the years going through since Prohibition. But it's pretty cool that it stayed with the brand.
Yeah. So the descendants of J.W. McCulloch, the Green River founder, they still had ownership over the DSP 10 and the Green River label. So it's my understanding on that. So once I believe the former owners were able to get in touch with that gentleman, they were able to persuade him to allow us to reuse that brand and to get the DSP number. Because Medley, this was Medley Distillery one time, they were DSP 49.
So it switched. All right. So that's cool. Austin's asking about the history of the label. Nothing?
As far as I'm understanding, it's some of the block lettering sort of thing that you see is very distinct. So 1900 through 1907, the Green River brand won a lot of World Whiskey Awards, Paris, New York, several different locations. It was the sole provider for, the, I believe, the Maritime Hospital for the military. So it was a big deal. It was considered the number one brand at that time. So a lot of the advertisements we have for that time period, a lot of people have given us a lot of labels from the time periods then and some different bottles. So the current, I would say, the feel of everything, it's on brand with what we're going for.
That's
I wanted to mention, Ann said that the bourbon was at 61 stores as of this morning, and the wheated is at 64 stores as of this morning.
So was it a column still for this, or is it pot still?
A column still. It's a 54-inch. Okay. It's a 54-inch Vendome column. I believe when this product would have been made, it would have been running, let's say, 80 to 90 gallons per minute in that still, which is wow, pretty damn fast.
Which yeah, you said 5, 6, and 7 year, or 4, 5, and 6 year?
For this year, it was 4, 5, and 6 year.
Okay, so 6, 23, that puts us at 2017. All right. So now I'm going to be tasting the regular Green River. And so I have to say, when you were at Kentucky Bourbon Festival and we were doing all the podcasts and everything, the one thing I took away from Kentucky Bourbon Festival that I missed out on was you, Aaron. I wish that we would have had you on the podcast and everything. You were there. And it was just one of those things as how we were busy and everything that was going on. It's just like, I don't even think I got to see you. You said you were there. I knew you were there.
Yeah, I never even knew he was there.
Yeah, so we actually had our team, our barrel rolling team was actually competing really for the first time in the World Barrel Relay. They ended up coming in last, but the effort they showed and the coaching that was provided from other teams who were there was super cool to be a part of. And I didn't want to miss that. And I was trying to be there to help coach them. And then the other part was, you know, family first. I was there with the family and hanging out with the kids. So,
yeah. And cool. I think you were at the booth for about a couple hours. When I stopped by the booth, finally, they said you were there for a couple hours and you were whatever. But we're definitely going to make a trip this summer just to come and see you. There's no doubt about it. I've been there. Now, talk about the distillery itself, where it's located, because I thought that was one of the cool things. I mean, you're in just a regular, you know, the street has got fast food on it and everything. You make a left and you go into a neighborhood. So now you're driving through the neighborhood and then you make a couple turns. And while you're get on the way there, you're thinking, this can't be right. And then all of a sudden, as you go through, then you pull into the, but it's just such a part of the community. And that's one of the things that Steve Coombs was talking about, how the community really, now that you guys are Green River and you're doing this the right way, the community was just ready to just jump in and support. Even they were supporting before, but I didn't get the feeling that it was the same way that they're supporting what's happening now. Talk about that.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to almost more of a feeling of locally owned and you're going to be locally supported. We are what I would call locally owned. I feel like the local, you know, the local following we have, you know, everybody knows somebody that worked at Medley Distillery back in the, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, I recently got to have a sit down with the Owensboro Bourbon Society last week. And we went through, it was the first face-to-face they'd got to see with me. And they were introduced to several of the, our president, CEO, Mark Irwin, and a few directors and several managers. So it was really cool to see all the members' perspectives on how forthcoming we've been, how open we've been about, you know, we're not here to spin this place around and make a profit immediately and sell it off to the highest bidder. You know, we're here to be re-ingrained into the facility and the community.
Well, I think the name, what you guys changed your name to, kind of proves that. It's just kind of like you're restoring it to its original, you know, what it was to start off. And it's really kind of cool when, you know, in this bourbon boom, when a lot of stuff is, what would you say, a lot of businesses aren't doing well or they whatever, and then you've got this to bring into the community, which is jobs. And it's also, I find distilleries and the people working at distilleries is a good morale kind of thing, especially in Kentucky, right? Yeah. When it comes to Kentucky, how proud everybody is and the fact that you guys are, you know, part of the whole thing, you know, back being part of the whole community of producing bourbon, but then also now the people who have purchased you and your association with Bardstown Bourbon Company, which when they first started, you would have thought that this would never have been something that could happen, but obviously they were right and their detractors were wrong. And you guys now being able to not only produce the Green River label, but then also start to produce other labels and also do things. I mean, it's fantastic. It's got to make you feel good, right, when you come to work?
Oh, I mean, some days more than others, sure. I think everything always comes down to people are going to have issues. People are going to have reasons for not showing up. People are going to have their reasons for, you know, wanting to go somewhere else and changing their luck, you know, somewhere else or you know, chasing after job titles or positions or, you know, you're always going to have that anywhere you go. But what we are trying to do is to build a place, a destination distillery, for our people to come and, you know, spend their careers. You know, we have no intentions of doing anything other than growing right now.
I mean, it is a challenge being like, for instance, the reason why I went to Ozzie Tyler in 2019 was it was part of the Bourbon Trail. And the Bourbon Trail, up until 2019, when they got into it, was a little bit easier to complete because it was the triangle. It was the Louisville. It was the, you know, the Lexington and the Bardstown area thing. But that year, Owensboro got added in, and that was an extra, you know, you had to, like I said, it was a, I had to work to get there, but I was going to do it. So I was actually staying in Lexington, came down for a Jim Beam tasting with Fred and Freddie, and then left there, went to Ozzie Tyler, took the tour. The people there, actually the person, one of the people who contacted me who did work for them during Ozzie Tyler, I think he actually waited for me and then took me. I missed part of the tour, but then he took me on the rest of the tour to show it to me. So they definitely had a friendly kind of, you know, atmosphere going. But as far as the bourbon goes at that time, it just wasn't quite there for me, even, you know. And but I would say that, like, I'm enjoying this batch of Green River, the new batch. Drinkable. I will have to say, the weeded has a little bit more, what would you say, going on as far as complexity. There's a little bit more there. But the actual Green River is going down really well. What do you think, CT?
I think the original one, the thing that I like about it, is it 21% rye, Aaron?
Correct.
So the rye comes out of it to me. I get that, the little bit of a peppery note. It doesn't stay, you know, like I could pick up 20 bottles that are bourbon that have a very mild palate and they don't change much. That pour changes going down. It changes the second and third drink a little bit. And I think that rye helps do that.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, by... it's maybe a little bit higher of a rye, but it's not, I don't think it's overpowering on the rye.
No.
I do think that the char four barrel, the 5 year aging on that possibly bottle really, really just helps develop those spice notes. Would I love a little bit heartier spice? Maybe, but I'm a rye guy. I love my heavy ryes. So yeah, that's just who I am.
And you have a rye coming out sometime?
Yeah, 95.5.
Sometime.
95.5, yeah.
So you got barrels, they've been producing that for a while?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be any secret. It's not a secret. We are similar to a contract distillation type of facility. So, yeah, we produce. They were producing several recipes. I've seen up to 10 at one point in the past, you know, 5-6 years. So we have whittled that down to 3 solid recipes that will continue us on for the next few years. So that we can see.
So the three, but they were, so there was some innovation going on, and that's what you'll have to figure that out as you go forward. But when I come down, yeah, I'll bring my own. We won't have to use the corner piping.
we'll find a piece of bent copper pipe. We'll be fine.
That's all right. But what I'm picking up on, like, not the finish, but the end, is kind of like that caramel. It's like a popcorn ball. That's what I'm picking on the new. So CT, you've got the sample I sent up.
Yeah, the of the weed.
No, I sent up one of each.
Yeah. So I had both.
Okay, so on the regular Green River, what are you picking up on that?
So whether it's me or not, I don't know. I get a little bit of apple. It's a fruity, the regular, not the weeded. I get the fruit flavors, but I get a little bit of apple out of it.
I would say mid palate, there's a little bit of that. And then at first palate, it's very sweet, almost like a honey just off the first. Then it goes to that little bit of, it's not a sweet Macintosh apple, but there's that little bit of apple. But then when it finishes up, I pick that popcorn, like that popcorn ball, that corn syrup kind of flavor that when grandma makes popcorn balls with corn syrup, that's what I'm picking up. So,
and I think
that's very enjoyable.
The rye leaves that little bit of pepper on your tongue as it goes, so it stays. It doesn't just fall off your tongue and bye, I'm out of here.
Right, and then that complexity you're picking up on, that's only enhanced from that non-chilled filtered, non-filtered bourbon. So you're going to get all those fatty oils that are going to trap all those flavors and just kind of give that lasting flavor for you.
For a $35 bottle, it has legs, it sticks in the glass, and I think the weeded actually sticks a little better for whatever reason. But still, both have their, and the color's not bad. I mean, it's not like that. That's a super light color. It's a, you know, it's not dark, but it's got color for a 4 or 5 year old bourbon.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, definitely. You guys, what would you expect? Right. You've one of the things coming to this place, one of the last things I'll ask you. So getting to work with Steve and Nick also, and then have their input, is that like a benefit where you just don't feel like you came in and you were on an island? Or was it more intrusive? I mean, how did that work as far as you personally?
I'll get emotional about it, honestly. You know, here I am in a tasting where all the client wants to taste is wheat. And I'm sitting across from Steve Nally and his wife. And I'm sitting there telling the customer how this wheat bourbon tastes. And I'm like, why am I even in this room right now? I'm sitting here with Steve Nally. I'm telling him how the wheat tastes. So it's kind of surreal, really. I'm incredibly humbled. Grateful for, you know, the opportunity to even just be in the same room with them doing the same job. I mean, that's really, really cool for me and for anyone. But they have been more than supportive. They've been there for me for any kind of questions on suppliers to equipment manufacturers to any kind of anything we need. They're right there. They're not there pushing their agendas. It's been 100% support, and I can't, and we are just as much champions for them as they are for us. We want both facilities to succeed.
So
go ahead.
No, you go, CT.
So let me grab these real quick, cause I was going to ask you this anyway. So it's not by coincidence that Bart Sapp release the origin series that somewhat mimics what you're doing with Green River then? Because
I would say that those have been on the books for much longer than what we
have. Okay. But yeah, it just kind of was like, okay, so the weeded, they brought out the regular bourbon and now the rye just got released about 2 weeks ago, I think. But yeah, it's just a thought. Just was like, hey, it's kind of coincidental.
Austin was wondering how he gets a coin. So are they available in the gift shop?
So what's cool about the gift shop, I think we may have them, but so when you redo a tour, to designate between your age and what tour you're on, there's a different different color lapel pin that you kind of put on. So there's kind of the coins. There's also the lapel pins that are going to be there. I don't know if you're going to be able to get that cool one that Jeff's got. That might be the only one left.
Oh my God. It's so
cool. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
So I got two. And when I met CT on Saturday, I gave him one so he could illustrate how this thing works, because the bottle is a horseshoe, which is cool as fuck. Okay. And then you set it down and it becomes a goal, and you basically send your, I was left-handed.
Well, and one thing I've also seen with it, if you do spill something on the bar, when you pick that bottle up, if it's there, all you see is that lasting Green River impression, which is really cool too.
That's cool.
Well, I don't have my coin anymore is the point of this story.
He's been fretting because I gave it to him, and he has no idea where it went. So,
it's in your truck.
I've tore my truck apart. I cannot find it.
We've got quarters hidden everywhere.
So quarters work too. They're
everywhere.
Right? Okay, but remember, the slogan for this is "Shoot your shot," right? I mean, talk about like 15 different levels of coolness and also social media. What would you say? Searchability. It's there. I mean, shoot your shot can mean a lot of things.
What was the original slogan that they used before Prohibition that made them so famous? They had a slogan that was really, really big.
So the whiskey without a headache.
There you go. And then it changed.
It was on the wall, over there.
Because you couldn't say that this product, was a medicinal, cure. Then it went to. Let's see if I can do this.
Yeah.
Is that backwards?
Nope. It's good.
Perfect.
Yeah, the whiskey without a headache.
Awesome.
And then it went to what, something about regrets?
Yeah, the whiskey without regrets, excuse me. Yeah.
Okay. So it's so cool that you're part of something like that now. There it is, without Green River, the whiskey without regrets. So what's it going to be now? Just shoot your shot. What?
Aaron's Place.
Aaron's Place. But no, think about that slogan. You should think about that slogan, because if you come up with it, then you got to trademark it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they've done, there's a lot of legs on this brand, not just the spirits. So it's, there's a lot of cool stuff to play with. And I got to give credit to, Jim Lake and the entire marketing department. They're given this amazing basket of full of different ideas that are already here. And especially when you get here, you get more ideas.
Yeah. And also what you got to give them credit for is the brand that you're putting out. And then in the future, we got to give you credit and everybody else that's associated with it. But you had to put out an exceptional whiskey. And I think this is an exceptional whiskey. I mean, it's reasonably priced, right? And then it's good. It's good whiskey. And if based off of everything that happened leading up to this, it had to be. Because you had to, like, get people on board. And I think this, I was one of the biggest critics of Ozzie Tyler, and I'm on board for this. Not just because you're there, but the whiskey tastes good, and because you're there. Because I've watched you do what you do at another place, and I respect what you're doing. And I have no doubt you have our support that,
most definitely.
What you're doing is... You you're such a humble person, but you have the talent to do this. So,
and I don't, you know how I am. I'm not going to toot my horn. I'm my biggest critic. I'm just humbled for the opportunity. And, when you get rid of the eyes, you bring in the wheeze, there's a whole lot of different opportunities that open up for you. And that's the way we are going to run things here.
Okay, so can I ask, how old are you?
I am 3,900 years old.
That's awesome. I mean,
I think I'm 38.
You're 38, 39. Okay, yeah. My oldest son is 30. My oldest son is 35. I don't look at you like a whatever, but that's great, because what you can. So you've not only in this position, you know, you're amongst peers and people who have been doing this for a long time. Now, Nick Smith is younger, closer to. He's probably closer to your age. But, you know, when you talk about Steve Nally, but at the same time, think about the more you do this and you're starting to believe that you're going to be settling into that, that someday you're going to be in Steve Nally's place. But at the same time, the experience that you're getting, you kind of understand where he comes from now, right?
Yeah, I think you get more into those worlds. Obviously, you know, he's got generations of ups and downs in this business that he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. Let's be honest here. It's just cool to get some of that heat.
Yeah. And it's fun thank you for letting us go along for the ride, because we want to be along for the ride as long as you're taking it. So
yes.
There's no doubt about it. I really respect your respect for the industry, and I can tell you've got that old. It's the bourbon industry and the whiskey industry is so unique because it pulls people out that are grounded. You're grounded. There's no doubt about it. It's about family. It's about producing good whiskey. It's about a work ethic. And for some reason in this industry, I meet so many people in other industries. I meet people and I'm negatively affected. But in this industry, it gives me hope that the world will keep going. You know what I mean? Once again, you mentioned what's happening here. I'm a lot older and I'm as old as Super Nash here and a couple years.
Oh, you're all beefcakes. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But CT's got us. He's the young guy of the group, but you know,
he's the young guy.
But at the same time, it's, you know, just keep up doing what you're doing. There's no doubt about it. It's good to see, even from the first time that I met you, I knew the kind of person you were, and it's the kind of person I want to know. And I do everything to tell everybody about you. And, you know, me and I talk, it's like I'm still here in Ohio. And me and Ann talk about you all the time, and there's no doubt you're just one of the good kind of people that people want to know. And you know, you take that into what you're doing and just keep doing it.
Thank you.
So anybody else, any other questions?
No, just I appreciate you taking the time to come on and not only talk about your brand, but take the time for us. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to appreciate you so much for just giving us your time and just your friendship.
Absolutely, guys. I'm around anytime, and I love jumping on and harassing as much as I can.
All right.
Harass us anytime.
Don't stop.
I will say we are going to start our single barrel program starting 5/1. So we've already got, I want to say we're going to do 100 barrels before the end of the year. And then that looks to multiply quickly starting in 2024.
What about weeded?
What about what?
A weeded single barrel?
Weeded part of that single barrel program?
Not yet, but if someone wanted one, I don't see why not.
Uh-oh. Oh, snap.
I know I can move weeded single barrels, that's for sure. So now that you're
here, we've got some barrels we can go play with.
Okay, and then Yeah, just to make sure that you put one of the King's Chambers aside of the weeded.
King Chambers. I've got about that much of a bottle left.
Well, I'll bring down the rest of that, and then I'll bring down also that rye. So when we come down and, you know, I have no problem letting you have what you made. Or not what you made, what you picked. So what's going to be really cool. Okay, so this will be the last question. So you laid down a whole year at the last place you were. And so it's going to be interesting to see when that year starts to go into effect, because I'm telling you, some of that White Dog you were letting me taste was some of the better White Dog I've ever tasted. I mean, you were pulling off the pot still off whatever. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'll always say, good going in, good going out. If you're not proud of it going in clear, you're not going to have a whole lot to sell later on.
So you're going to depend on me to pull it for you off the shelves and everything and bring it to you. I can do that. You know what I mean?
Until they release me to go play in Ohio, that's what's going to have to happen.
Yep, for sure. All right. So everybody, thank you for, I'll finish up this part of the podcast, and then we got to hang on after I finish this up, Aaron. We want to talk a little bit, and then we'll stop recording for everything else. But let me finish this up. All right, everybody. What a wonderful podcast. Thank you, CT. Thank you, Super Nash and Aaron, for that. I think that was a very informative podcast. And one of our – we were on tonight, right? So, all right, everybody. www.scotchybourbonboys.com for everything Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Pick up T-shirts, Glencairns, Scotchy Bourbon Balls, everything like that. Then also we are on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Twitter. And then also check us out on all podcast formats. But we are on Apple, iHeart, Spotify, Deezer, gaming podcasts. If there's a podcast format, we're on it. So, but remember, listen, like, comment and leave good feedback. So remember, good friends, good times, good bourbon, good whiskey. Boy, that was bad. And
go out and live your life dangerously,
but drink responsibly.
Responsibly.
And I've got little Steve-O to take.
Cheers, everybody.
Us.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yes, for sure. To take us out. Here we go. No, here we don't go.
And here we go.
This is like take, I was here perfect. Here we
go, take two.
Well, hopefully Nash's cat doesn't run across the computer here.
There we go.
Yeah. He cut me out. He's been running around everywhere else.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way.
Come on, here we go. Now I got it. Did that work?
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.